Our next presentation is by Ty Smith.
Thanks for that introduction. Again, my name is Ty Smith. I'm a graduate student under Angus and Dr. Jeff Harris at Mississippi State. And what we're going to be talking about today is the influence of cultural practices on soybean nectar production. So the crop diversity in the state of Mississippi over the past 10 years or so has changed greatly. Back in 2006, soybean acres were around anywhere from 50 to 60% in the state, whereas in the past few years, we've actually seen that increase to almost 75 and above. The reason behind that is the fact that the price of cotton over the years has steeply declined, and in that we're seeing soybeans and earlier planted soybeans take over that. So this just shows the numerical value for the soybean production in the state. We've hovered around that 2 million acre mark over the past 5 or 6 years. This is also the honey production in the state of Mississippi. As you can see here, we've also hovered around that 2 million pounds of honey produced in the state. And we can attribute that little bit of increase to the fact that we're growing a lot more soybeans. I do want to note here, on 2015, all this came from the NASS website. And we do believe that in 2015, that number is a little skewed. After talking to a few of the local beekeepers in the area, we found out that that number is probably a lot higher and more in that range of the 2 million pounds mark. So a little bit about nectar and how it's made into honey. Nectar is just a diluted solution of a different sugars such as fructose, glucose, and sucrose. Once the bees collect the nectar, they add a number of different enzymes such as invertase to the nectar, where it is then regurgitated into the honeycomb and left to evaporate the excess water. The fully ripened and capped product, what we have is a complex mixture that we have honey. This just shows the composition of honey. Honey is roughly about 17% water and around 83% solid. And of those 83% of the solids, 98% of those solids are actually the three main sugars I was talking about. This just breaks down that even further. Again, the amount of water can range anywhere from 12 to 23%, whereas fructose and glucose, the two monosaccharide sugars that make up the most part of the honey, can range anywhere from 23% all the way up to 45%. So the objective of this study was to evaluate a number of different cultural practices and see their effects on the different nectar production in soybeans. We looked at a number of different factors such as location, variety, irrigation, and planting date. And the main two I'm going to talk about today are location and variety. So we looked at this in two different locations. We looked at a hills region in Mississippi, which was conducted in Starkville, Mississippi, as well as a delta region, which was conducted in Stoneville, Mississippi at DREC. We looked at 13 different soybean varieties, ranging in maturity groups anywhere from a 3.5 all the way up to a 5.9. We also monitored two different soil types. In the hills, we planted our soybeans into a silty clay loam, and in the delta, it consisted of a sandy to a silt loam. Samples were taken at a midday designation, which is anywhere from 10:30 a.m. to 1:30 p.m., and the reason our flowers were pulled at this time, well, this is considered the peak nectar flow. This just shows the different varieties and different maturity groups that were used. Again, I'll note we used anywhere from a 3.5 all the way up to a 5.9. Once the samples were pulled from the field, they were weighed and then placed in distilled water upside down and then centrifuged to extract the nectar. The centrifugation process helped to pull any remaining nectar out of the bottom of the flowers. The samples were then frozen and stored at negative 20 degrees Celsius, where they can be analyzed later using spectrophotometry. When doing this process, we looked at the amount of glucose, sucrose, and fructose that was available in the nectar using an anthrone assay that we looked at lambda 630 nanometers. We used a 96 well plate and used 200 microliters of well volume. The data was then analyzed using SAS 9.4 PropClimix. So these next graphs I'm going to look at here are just the interaction of each of the individual sugars against location and variety. On the y-axis, we have the microgram of each individual sugar per milligram of flour weight. And the varieties here on the x-axis are all the different varieties, all 13 varieties that were used. They're in no pertaining order. I want to note a trend here. Anything with a red asterisk, a single red asterisk, is a variety that performed much better in the hills, but didn't perform as well in the delta. And any variety with two red asterisks over the top of it performed much better in the delta regions over the hills regions. I want to note a trend. There are a few varieties that I will be talking about that seem to pop up every single time across all three of the different sugars. So in the varieties that performed better in the hills, we have the Asgrow 3832, the 5935, the 4633, and the 5532. In the Delta regions, we found that the variety, the 3936 variety, as well as the 3536 variety, performed much better. This shows the sucrose interaction of location and variety. I want to note the x-axis stays the same in varieties. The y-axis stays the same with the micrograms per milligram of flour. I do want to note that on the left-hand side, the scale does change. Again, we see the 5935, the 3832, as well as the 4633 performed better in the amount of sucrose that was found in the hills regions versus those delta regions, whereas 3936 and 3536, in regards to the sucrose interaction, was found to be in a higher amount in the delta region rather than in the hills region. This shows the fructose interaction between location and variety. Note the scale does change again, but as we can see, the 5935 and the 4633 show significant difference in the fact that it was performed much better in the hills rather than in the delta, whereas the 3936 and the 3536 performed much higher in the delta region than in the hills region. This graph just shows an average of all the sugars across both locations. Glucose was found to be significantly higher in the hills region rather than in the delta region, whereas sucrose was found to not be significantly different, and fructose was found to be significantly higher in the delta than in the hills region. This chart here shows the correlation between sugar type and yield. I do want to note that there is a negative relationship here, saying that as the amount of sugar in the nectar increases, we found those yields to actually decrease. I want to note that in the hills region, sucrose, glucose, and fructose was a negative relationship, but it was found not to be that significant. But I want to note in the highlighted areas here in the delta region, this was found to be significantly different. I want to point out that the purpose of this study was suggested to us by a beekeeper in Philadelphia, Mississippi, who actually puts his honeybees in the Mississippi Delta. So we've known in the past that in the delta regions in Mississippi that our soybean acres, our soybean production is much higher, as well as the amount of honey production is also much higher. We believe these two to have effect on one another, that the plant is producing, he wants to know why his bees are making so much more honey in the delta than they are in the hills region. And we have somewhat of a theory behind that, and it'll take some more time to look at that. But we have a reason to believe that the plants and the soybeans that we're growing in the delta are growing at such an exponential rate compared to in the hills that they're using more and more of those resources in order to put more flowering positions and fruiting positions on that plant, which is taking away from the individual nectar production that were found in each individual flower. So in a summary, we can see that the variety by location interaction was observed. We found to be no significant difference in the amount of sucrose over the two locations, although we found glucose to be much higher in the hills and fructose to be higher in the delta region. And we also noted that there was a negative relationship between the yields and the different sugar types. Our goal of this study is to hope that we can identify a number of different varieties and cultural practices that we can use to help beekeepers and producers to identify with one another that they can work in a better relationship. So with that, I'll take any questions. The question was that we looked at the difference between indeterminate and determinate varieties. Yes, sir, we have. We actually, the other part of this test is to look at determinants. We use indeterminate variety against a determinate variety, but at the time I haven't had a chance to go over those numbers to kind of to look at them right now. But that is, we do have the data for that, and I'll be looking at that at the first of the year. Yes, sir. So the question was, do bees have a preference on which sugar, the sugar composition in the nectar? There has been previous tests done to show that bees do prefer higher amounts of fructose, or they're more attracted to fructose, but we don't know if that plays any role in the sugar composition, because we've seen some varieties when we've pulled flowers that have a high amount of fructose. But we can't attribute that without actually going out and observing bees to see if that has any effect on their preference. Any more questions? Thank you.